The sicha we're learning today, Chilek Yudalad Nitzavim Beis, is a short Rashi sicha said by the Rebbe during the Fabringen of Shabbos Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech Tovshin Chavtes. And as the minig was in those years, these sichas were said in parts. Usually a Rashi sicha would be said in two parts. There'd be the questions, then the Rebbe would go on to other things, either questions in a different area of Torah. That year it was Igeres HaTshuva, or Pirkei Avos. Later on it was Rambam. Then the Rebbe would come back to the Rashi and say the bir. During this Fabringen, which did happen sometimes, the sicha was said in three parts. First, the Rebbe gave the question and the introductory points, then came back and continued, and came back and continued a third time, adding there the final bir plus the yena shel teira. And what's interesting about the way the Rashi is edited in the sicha here is that the Rebbe goes straight to what Rashi's saying, doesn't deal with the difficulties in the pasuk that Rashi is addressing. Even though in the Bilti Mugga, the Rebbe did spend a bit of time explaining what was bothering Rashi. And we're going to go through the Sicha inside, keep it text-based, and Bezer Hashem get through almost all of the Ha'aris, along with some other Biyurim V'Ha'aris B'Derech Efshir, as we go along and as we've done in the past. So, let's get right to it. Si'if Aleph. Rashi B'Pirushei Ala Pasuk. The pasuk says, beginning of this week's parsha, Moshe tells the Yidden, you're all standing today. Rosheichem, shivteichem, ziknechem, shertreichem, koil ish Yisrael. In the first pasuk, it says, the heads of your shvatim, the elders, the shaitrim, all the men of Israel. And then we have our pasuk, tapchem, the children, nesheichem, the women. And the gerim in your camps, from your woodchoppers until your water drawers. So Rashi, in explaining this pasuk, he copies down the words, your woodchoppers, umefarish, and he explains, melamet. These words teach us, that Knanim came to the Yidden, the days of Moshe, to become Gerim, just like we find later that the Givonim came to the Yidden in the days of Yeshua. V'zehu ha'amur b'givonim, and this is actually what it means when it says by the Givonim, b'yasu gam heima b'arma, that they also did it in trickery. But Pashtus Rashi is coming to stress the word gam. Well, it's the also. This wasn't the first time it's happening in history. Other people had come before. Okay, that's a nice piece of history. What does that have to do with the pasuk mechayte veitzecha? Because on the son of Moshe chayte veitzim b'shaya v'mayim, Moshe made these people into wood choppers and water drawers. And although Rashi does not say what happened with these Knanim that came to be misgayer, the Rebbe, as we'll see in a moment, is going to assume that they actually became gedim. And this is going to be Rashi's shita versus those who pointed to Rashi's sources as the Tanchuma and the Akot Shemaini, which we'll see in a moment, that hold that they did not become Gerim. That's going to be the central point of the beginning of this Sicha. The two ways of learning how this piece of history unfolded. According to the Mefarshei Rashi, and this is clear in the sources of the Midrashim, these Goyim that came to be Misgayer did not become Gerim. According to Rashi, the Rebbe is going to learn, they did become gerim. Because of what I'm a farshim right over here. Shakavanas Rashi kamishakasav b'tanchuma. The Rashi here means exactly as the Tanchuma says. Tanchuma is a bit of a different wording. Here it is. Melamed shabo agivaynim etzol Moshe v'loy kiblan. The givaynim came to Moshe. He did not accept them. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, vayasu gam hema be'arma, that they also came in trickery in the days of Yeshua. Mahu gam hema. What's the also? L'lamedcha shabo etzel Moshe v'lei kibman. They already came to Moshe. Moshe didn't accept them. Hainu, which means that these mefarshim, based on the Tanchuma, want to learn in Terashi, shabepayel loy karas Moshe imoyim bris, that in actuality Moshe did not make any treaties with them. Ela, shanesanam Moshe miyad. As soon as they came, Moshe made them chayt ve'etzim v'sheya v'mayim. He said, look, you guys are here. We're not accepting you as gerim, but you will become under our authority. They therefore remained in a new category of slaves to the Yidden. And this is how the Mefarshim want to learn Rashi as well. Omnam, however, since Rashi adds the word they came to become Gedim, umashmit hakasuv betanchuma, and he deletes that which the Tanchuma does say, shaloi kiblan Moshe, that Moshe did not accept them. Muchach, it's clear, shalashitas Rashi b'pshutishol mikra, kiblan Moshe v'nisgayru b'poil. Rashi holds in pshutishol mikra that Moshe did take them in, and they did become gerim. Even though, when examining Lashon Rashi, there's also not necessarily an indication that they actually became gerim, as the Rebbe points to in Ha'ara 7. Because one could easily say, and let's read it inside Ha'ara 7, Be'ein Leimar, do not tell me, Shehakavana, that Rashi's intention is, Sherak bo chulu lihizgayir, aval bepoyo lo yizgayir, that they only came to become gerim, but in actuality they did not. Right? I mean, one could learn that into the words of Rashi. He doesn't say, Kiblon Moshe. He doesn't use the positive terminology. He just says they came to be Mizgayer. But the Rebbe says, Al Karchach, it has to be that they actually became Gedim. Ki Im Kain, because if you want to learn the other way, that it just, they came to be Mizgayer, but didn't actually be Mizgayer, Hoysafas Tevas Lihizgayer, Miutetas Legamri. It's completely extra to say the word Lihizgayer. Rashi is being very precise over here. Why does he add in this word? This is not a word that appears in Tanchuma. If Rashi also means they only came to be Mizgayer, but in fact they didn't, it wouldn't make sense for Rashi to add in that word, Lihizgayer. It would be completely extra. So obviously Rashi, and as this is how the Rebbe remains, Rashi is of the opinion that the Gedim that came in the days of Moshe, in fact, did become Gedim. Now, once we have clear what Rashi is saying, Aval al pizeh tzarich lehavin. Now we need to address a couple of questions. First, where did he actually get it from? Rashi is inserting a piece of history to the pasuk here. He doesn't show it from any words in the pasuk, seemingly. And if you had to ask somebody logically, the lechura adarabah, one would actually say the opposite. Because, again, as we've seen in the last paragraphs, what comes up is one of three possibilities. Either these woodchoppers in the pasuk are actually yidden, mamish part of Klal Yisrael. Another option they could be is Gedim, which is what Rashi wants to say they are. The third option, as clearly arises from the Tanchuma, that they're Avadim, they're servants. Now, Rashi had to have examined the Pasuk for all these options. Rashi concluded that they weren't actual Yidden. That was his first conclusion. We didn't even hit that before. But that's obvious. Rashi takes that for granted that they weren't Yidden. How does he know that? One would have to say that he knows that they're not Yidden from the fact that the Torah listed them. In the last pasuk, the Torah says, "Kol Ish Yisrael," all Jewish males are here. If in fact these people, these Mechaytei Veitzachas, were part of Yidden, they wouldn't be listed in the pasuk. Obviously, therefore, Rashi concluded they're not part of the Bnei Yisrael. Well, for the very same price, they're not part of Gerim either. How do we know that? Because Gerim are also listed in the pasuk. In other words, if Rashi's approach to explaining Mechaytei Veitzacha is because they have to be something which wasn't already said in the Pasuk, then the same way they're not Bnei Yisrael for that reason, they're not Gedim for that reason, as the Rebbe proceeds to say. The Lechura Adrabba would seem to be opposite from the actual wording of the Pasuk. They shouldn't be Gedim. Just like everybody understands the necessity of Rashi to say that they're not from the actual Yidden, is midichil kamakos of besug b'fnei atzmai, but leinichlelu b'kol ish Yisrael, because they were divided into a part on their own, not included in the terminology kol ish Yisrael. Kein muchach lichayda she'enam gerim, and the same price, they're not gerim either. Me'achash gerim kar chashil difnei, that gerim were already counted. Gerachasher bekarav machanecho, and not only is this a logical assumption, Rashi himself says this in Gemara. Ukim mafurish bepirash Rashi atzme b'Gemara, as Rashi in Yevamos, where this Gemara comes from, says, midekarinu lichayt ve'etzim be'anpayu, since we called them by their new name, woodchoppers, in front of their faces. They're obviously not part of the Jewish population or part of the Gerim population because they got a new name. So how indeed does Rashi know that they actually became Gerim? And I want you to notice now that on the top of the column, the Rebbe said the word Al-Pizeh based on this explanation of Rashi, which sounds like according to the other explanation of Rashi, this would not be a question, and it's obvious why it's not that way, because the other way of learning is that they're talking about Gedim. They're Tarka Avadim Livnei Yisrael, and that's exactly how we know it from the words Mechayte Veitzacha, because they're a new name. Kelish Yisrael refers to the Yidden. The Ger Chasher Bekarav Machanecha refers to the Gerim. Mechayte Veitzacha is a new category of Avadim, just as Rashi says in the Gemara. Second question. Mahi Kavanas Rashi Bekosvei Melamed Shabo Knanim. Why does Rashi use that extra word? This teaches us. Let him just tell us the piece of history. Veleka Amar, he could just say, Knanim Boli is Gaya. There were Knanim that came to become Gerim. I should point out that this question was not asked by the Rebbe in the Bilti Muga. It was clearly added in the time of Haggah, although I don't have the Aliyah Haggah in front of me, but when you examine the Sikha and Sikha's Kedesh, you see this question is not there. And here, because I brought it up already, it behooves us to explain why this is only a question according to our way of understanding Rashi. Again, the Rebbe said, Al Pizet Tzarech Lahavin, which sounds like the other way of learning Rashi. This would not be a question. And what I think the answer is simply obvious. If you learn that they actually weren't Gedim, we only know that from this pasuk. Mechayte Veitzecha, the extra words in the pasuk, after having already said Kol Ish Yisrael, and after having said V'gerecha Asher Bekarav Machanecha, the extra words themselves are melamed. They teach us that we're talking about a new category of people, people that weren't Gedim and weren't Gedim. It's only when you learn that they were Gedim that you have to understand why Rashi says melamed. This teaches us. Because if anything, and now I think the question becomes even stronger, it's not this teaches us. If it teaches us anything, is that they're not Gedim. If Rashi is saying that it teaches us that they are Gedim, we really have to know why he says that. And the third question is, Lama Maitik Beharaya Mimashakosav B'Yeshua Avayasu Gam Hema Gam Tevas Be'arma. Why copy down from the Pasuk in Yeshua the word Be'arma with trickery? Seemingly, what Rashi is bringing from the Pasuk in Yeshua is simply that there was a repeat of history. Since the pasuk over there says Gam Hema, they also came, also means it's a second time. So we know from there that there was a first time in the days of Moshe. The fact that they did it in trickery is not necessary for our context. Hare Gam Bilada, as the Rebbe says, even without it, Muvenes Ubrura Rayose. His proof is understood and clear. He's bringing a proof that this is not the first time it's happening. I'm sorry, that this was the first time because there was a second time. There was an also. And again, to explain why this question does not apply to the other way of learning Rashi, just my thoughts on this. If in fact, when they came the first time, they were not accepted, one could learn into the Tanchuma that it was actually the same exact people who came back the second time. And that's actually how it looks from the Lashon. If you see in the Lashon of Tanchuma quoted in the second paragraph of the Sicha, Melamed Shabo HaGivaynim, the same Givaynim came Eitzel Moshe V'loi Kiblon. So then it's obvious why he has to write in Ba'arma. Because the only way they could come a second time is if they put up some sort of facade, some sort of trick. If they didn't put up a trick, then why would Yehoshua accept them if he saw that Moshe didn't accept them? It's obvious that the reason they were able to come a second time was because they made a trick. Now, in our way of learning Rashi, what happened the second time is not relevant in Pshat, because it was a whole different story, a whole different group of people. This group was accepted, that group wasn't. So the Pasuk from Yeshua is only bringing up the concept of Gam Hema, and Ba'arma is completely unnecessary. That would be the way that I would explain the Rebbe's intention with the Al Pi Zeh, how these three questions only apply when you learn the way that Rebbe's learning in Rashi, but not the way the other Mefarshim learned in Rashi. I want to pause for a moment and go to Ha'aris 8 and 9. In the paragraph of question number Aleph, the Rebbe made an assumption, and he said, since the Pasuk already says Kol Ish Yisrael, that tells you that Mechayte Veitzecha cannot be part of Yisrael. But one could seemingly have a question on that. Our Pasuk begins with the words, Tapchem, Neshechem, Begercha, Asher Bekarev Machanecha. Your children, your wives, and the Gerim, are they not part of the Jewish people? They're seemingly part of Bnei Yisrael. So one might reject the assumption and say, hey, you see that not every category that was specified has to be something different than Kol Ish Yisrael. the kids and the women were also part of Kol Yish Yisrael, and the Rebbe says, no, they weren't. In Pshat, if you examine the words, Hara 8, Ma she'en kein tapchem nesheichem gercha asher bisharacha, this assumption does not apply to the first categories mentioned in the Pasuk, because she'loi nichlelu b'kol ish v'loi isha v'taf Yisrael v'loi gerim. The words Kol Yish Yisrael are very exclusive. It doesn't say Kol B'nei Yisrael. It doesn't say Kulam. It says all men of Israel. Men excludes women and children. Therefore, Torah has to specify them. The word Yisrael does exclude Gerim, even though we're so accustomed to talking about how Gerim are part of the Jewish people. Yet, as the Rebbe says in the Shulia Gilyan, in the note to the note, Ki gam al derech ha-pshat, yesh ne'chiluk bin ben Yisrael le-ger, there is a difference between a Yid and a Ger, even in Pshat. From the very fact that Torah has to multiple times say and stress that this mitzvah applies like ger v'la ezrach, both to the gerim and to the citizens, as the Rega Chavar explains here at length. So Kol Ish Yisrael excludes women, children, and gerim. They have to be listed. But mechayte v'tzacha, returning to the Rebbe's question, from the fact that it was listed separately, also, therefore, is not part of Kol Ish Yisrael, but it shouldn't be part of Gerim either, as the Rebbe asked on Rashi. In Ha'ara 9, again, on the same assumption in question number Aleph, that they should not be considered Gerim because it already says Gercha Asher Bekerav Machanecha, the Rebbe points out that the Maskil David, who also learned Rashi like the other Mefarshim, that Rashi holds that they did not become Gerim, in fact, brings that as Rashi's proof. But Maskil David Kasav Shazeu Gufa Hechrechesh Rashi Shabo Knanim. Rashi learns that this is the very proof that the Knanim came from the fact that it already says V'gircha Asher B'kerav Machanecha and then says Mechayte V'tzecha. But of course, Avol Zeh Masim Leimar Rak L'Pirush HaMefarshim. That you could only say if the Mefarshim's explanation is being followed. Shashitas Rashi Shabepoyel Leinis Gaida, that Rashi holds that in actuality it did not become Gerim. But if we're going to let Rashi hold that they did become Gerim, so the question now reverts to Rashi himself. Don't you see the proof that they're not Gerim? Don't you see that Torah is listing them separately from Kol Ish Yisrael, separately from Gercha Asher Bekerav Machanecha? Why do you then say that Mechayta Vitzacha means that they're Gerim? And this is where the Rebbe remains with his questions on Rashi. So first, the assumption that they became Gerim, that's Rashi's Shita. And the three questions are, why does he say that they're Gerim and how does he know? And if anything, the Pasuk goes against that. Why does he say Melamed? And why does he add in the words Be'arma? Just to throw in something here from the Bilti Muga, the way that Rebbe started off this Rashi was that he did give a problem that Rashi was facing in the Pasuk. And that is, the way that Rebbe asked it, why is Torah saying these people's parnasa? Why are we telling them they're woodchoppers and water carriers? And the Rebbe suggested, you know, maybe because it's a melacha she'eina haguna, maybe it's just not a nice type of work. That's why, you know, the pasuk had to specify it. They're also included. But the Rebbe says that, first of all, the Chumash Lemikra knows that being a water carrier or a woodchopper is not dishonorable at all. It's very fit. And in addition, this whole pasuk is not talking about different parnasas. It's all about different mahus of people. Rasheichem, Shivteichem. So Mechayte V'tzecha V'sheyev Mimecha has got to be about the mahus of the person. And therefore, Rashi has to explain that Mechayte V'tzecha V'sheyev Mimecha is a descriptive term for a different kind of mahus. For a person who came to join the Jewish people later on and was accepted, the way Rashi explains it, actually became a ger, and therefore Torah calls them by this name, Mechayte Vitzecha V'Sheyev Mimecha. I just wanted to add that detail from the Bilti Muga. Let's turn to Se'if Beis and see how the Rebbe begins to explain the points brought up here in this Rashi. Habir B'chol Zeh. So first the Rebbe has to answer his first question, which is how Rashi B'chlal knew to say that these Chayte Vitzechas have to be Gerim. They cannot be the third category of Avodim. And this, as the Rebbe does classically in Pshut HaShel Mikra, is from examining the context in which this pasuk was said. Sometimes we get very focused on the pasuk which we're dealing with, that it's hard to look at the bigger picture. But when you look at the bigger picture, you see how the question's automatically answered. B'Pshut HaShel Mikra, says the Rebbe, Muchach These people, woodchoppers and water carriers, have to be a part of Am Yisrael. Because the pasuk right away concludes, Hakavana shall call atem hanitzavim. The point of everybody here that's standing today, Shabahem klulim kol asugim hanimnim bikra, in who is included, everybody. What was the point of the standing here? Why are we gathered here today? To pass you through the treaty of the Eibishter and his covenant, his strong bond that the Eibishter is tying with you today. In other words, there's a treaty going on here for the Kiyama Mitzvahs. And therefore, it's proven that these woodchoppers, either they're Jews or they're Gedim maximum, because if not, if they're going to be servants, they have no connection to all mitzvahs. Avadim only have certain mitzvahs. And so if Rashi's shita is that these chetiv yitzachos are somebody else, they're not going to be avadim, because avadim doesn't fit in the context of the pasuk. Now, the Tanchuma and the other midrashim do say that, do learn that they were avadim. How do they explain the context of the pasuk? Well, that seems to be what the Rebbe is referring to in the Arah 10. Because al derech ha'alacha rei baruch ha'betzafenas paneach and alo v'anisman shem. The Raga Charver spends a long time delineating how sometimes avadim of Yidin could assume the responsibility of all the mitzvahs, and therefore al piderech ha'alacha, that's fine to say that mechetev yitzecha v'shev mimecha were avadim, and they also were part of the treaty for all mitzvahs. But al derech ha'pshat, where it's very clear that avadim are not shaykh to all 613 mitzvahs, if the Eibishter here is saying that the purpose of gathering you all together today is to make you a treaty for the mitzvahs, you know that everybody listed here is not an evet. And therefore Rashi knew that they gotta be one of the two. Either they're proper Jews, milechatchila b'nei Yisrael, or they were gedim. So by process of elimination, that's how we're going. We're going first, the third category is out. They cannot be avadim. Now, let's examine the remaining two categories. Either they're yidin, or they're gedim. Says the Rebbe, v'kevon shekein. Since this is so, mistaber shehinam b'chlal gedim. It makes sense that they're gedim, again, using process of elimination. They're not avadim, they're not Jews either. And the Rebbe is going to bring two proofs that Rashi has to this point. Firstly, and this is again examining the structure of the pasuk sentence, from the common denominator in the verse in the pasuk's language, sugim elu, specifically these categories, nemru kulam b'lashon yachad, were all said in the singular. They share that factor. Unlike the other categories, Rashechem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Shaitreichem, Tapchem, Nesheichem, those were all in the plural. That already shows that Chetev Veitzecha V'Sheid Mimecha are somewhat linked to the Gedim. Obviously, you can't use that as a defining factor, but if you already know that they have to be either Gedim or the Jews, you could use this as a good proof, what's called a Snifraya. Number two, Misignan Halashan, and this already relies on some dikduk, an understanding of the grammatical build of a sentence. If you look at the style of the pasuk here, it says May Chaitiv Eitzecha ad Shayev Mimecha, from the woodchoppers until the water carriers. And follow along first what the Rebbe is going to say inside, so that we could properly examine the Ha'aris 11 and 13 and fully understand them. When you have a mem and an ad, from until, muchach, that's clear, shemamshich bazel lefarish pratim b'mashakosov lifneza, that this is delineating details of a category previously mentioned, begercha asher bekarav machanecha. Otherwise, you don't have to say from and until. You see, it goes all the gedim in your community, from the woodchopper's gedim till the water carrier gedim. In other words, there are details of the previously mentioned category. Just like one would say, anybody that's in this restaurant, from the oldest to the youngest, the from and to is clearly details in the previously mentioned category. So the mem and the ad already tell us exactly that. As the Rebbe says, the im leikin, because if not so, ela shehem sugim bifnei atzmam legamrei, they're meant to be different categories on their own. Havalei lemeimar belishna ki b'hanu dileil. Let the pasuk just say it in the same language as before. Continue the style. Rasheichem, Shivteichem. It doesn't say, Meda Sheichem, Ad Shivteichem. So it's clear that it's coming to say details in the previous category. Now, not only does the Rebbe support it logically, but the Rebbe also gives a proof where we see this elsewhere in Torah. The al derech masha kosov, similar to what it says when Moshe Rabbeinu warned Pare about Makas Bechiris that was impending. He said, "Kol Bechir be'eretz Mitzrayim, all firstborns are going to die. Mi Bechir Pare ayeshev al kisay, ad Bechir ashivcha, from the Bechir of Pare sitting on his throne until the Bechir ashivcha." Of course, Bechir Pare and Bechir ashivcha shehim pratov shall kol Bechir be'eretz Mitzrayim and nemar lifneze. There are all details in the category of kol Bechir be'eretz Mitzrayim that was said before. And there you see how mem and ad is details of a previously mentioned category. Another proof, hagneva, when the pasuk's talking about kethel, the obligation to pay double when you're caught stealing something, says mimatzei simatzei biyadei hagneva, if the gneva is found in the person's property, mishayir ad chamir ad se, from an ox to a donkey to a sheep, again using the from and until as details of the previously mentioned word hagneva. V'oid, and there are multiple other places in the Torah where we see this. So this was Rashi's proof that they have to be not avadim, and within the two remaining categories, gedim. Again, to review so we can fully understand what's coming now, they're definitely not avadim because they have to be part of the bris for all the mitzvahs. They definitely are gedim for two proofs. Firstly, they're all b'lashon yachid. Secondly, the mem and the ad. And even though the Rebbe doesn't address it in the Mugga Dikasicha, this is addressed in the Bilti Mugga, the Rebbe says, of course, the Mem and the Ad cannot be Rashi's defining proof. Because surely the Gemara knew about that too. Tanchuma knew about that too. How do they answer the Mem? How do they account for the Mem and the Ad? If they're learning that Mechete Vitzacha Acheh Mimecha refers to a third category of Avadim. It's not delineating details in Vigir Chasher Bekar of Machanecha. So Rashi couldn't support himself just with that. Therefore, his main hechrich is Lavrucha Bevis Hashem Olikecha, all the mitzvahs. The Mem and the Ad is a kind of snifraya, supporting proof that once you know it has to be not avadim, if you're going to choose Yisraelim or Gedim, you're going to choose Gedim because it makes sense with the Mem and the Ad. Now, of Ha'arda 11 and 13, I'm going to do first 13 because I believe that part of 11 could be better understood after knowing the context of Ha'arda 13. So first, what's Ha'arda 13 coming to do? Explain why the pasuk that was brought as support for a similar style and structure of psukim is not in fact a conclusive. Kol b'cher be'eretz Mitzrayim b'cher pari ayeshev al kisei ad b'cher ashivcha. The Rebbe wanted to use it in the pnim as a support to say that v'gercha asher b'kerev machanecha mechete v'itzecha achev mimecha is following the same style. And the Rebbe gives two reasons why, in fact, they're actually a bit different upon closer examination. Ha'arah 13. Avol. Einei doime mamish. This pasuk is not exactly similar to our pasuk. Key, because firstly, Sham, in the pasuk about Makas Becheres, Harei Cheshev Hasuga Yeser Chashuv VeHasuga Yeser Pachus. Moshe's intent is clear. He's trying to say from the most important, that's the Becher of Pare, to the least important, the Becher of the maidservant. The Kavanah, and his intent is also Lichlil Bazeh Gam Kol Hasugim Shebintayim, to include all the other intermediary types of Becherim, Becherim of less important people than Pare, but more important people than the maidservants. Masha'enkein Kan, here, you don't see in the Pasuk Mechete Veitzecha Acheh Memecha categories of importance. From the most important to the least important, it's just two different types. It would be like saying from the Becherim of tall people to the Becherim of short people. That's not important and less important. That's just two different categories. So therefore, the Pasuk in Parshas Boy makes more sense to say that mi becher pare till ad becher ashivcha is really giving the conclusive details of kol becher beretz Mitzrayim because it's including all categories. Here, not necessarily is it including all categories. Even though, as the Rebbe points out, l'chayda gam kan yesh loymar, one could explain, as the Sfernei Take explains, that it does mean min harishen shebechaytvim ado acharen shebeshayabim, from the most important of the woodchoppers to the last of the water carriers. But notice that even the Sfernei does not find in the jobs of woodchoppers and water carriers themselves any degrees of importance. He just says the most important woodchopper to the least important water carrier. And if therefore, if the Sfernei is only your only support, then as the Rebbe easily rejects it, avol lefizeh gam gabed ashechem havalei lemeimer b'tosfos mem ad. For the same price, one could have used the same mem and ad in the first categories. Meid ashechem shivtechem ad ziknechem shetrechem. Because surely there's not only one elders, one Reish. Of course, it's the most important Reish to the least important Reish, the most important elders to the least important elders. So to use this Furnay's way of explaining the Pasuk and our Pasuk as well is a bit doichek. And therefore, we do leave off with a difference between Parshas Bo and Parshas Nitzavim, that Parshas Bo gets the full gamut of Bechiras versus Parshas Nitzavim, which has nothing about importance. Secondly, Shom in the Pasuk of Parshas Bo, had a kolul mi bechir parei ad bechir v'geimer kol ha-bechirim. This is another aspect of a similar point. When you talk about from bechir parei till bechir ha-shivcha, you have included all levels of bechirim. Everyone's in there. Because there's nobody that's outside of that framework. Masha'in kein kan, over here, of course there are different gedim outside that framework. Had a yeshnam oyed gedim, there were other gedim. Not all gedim go into the category of from the wood choppers to the water carriers. But the opposite is true. In Mechete Veitzecha Hachev Mimecha is only included the wood choppers and water carriers of those Kananim who came to become gedim. All the other Jews, as the Rebbe points to in the Bilti Muga, the aid of Rav came through all the years, and anybody else who joined them in the Midbar, those are the ones that are referred to in Megir Chasher Bekar of Machanecha. And so we end up with another difference between Parshas Bo and Parshas Nitzavim. So although in the Pnim, the Rebbe does leave it as support for this concept of May and Ad being a delineation of details of a previous category, in the end, we are forced to face the fact that there are some differences between the Pasuk and Parshas Bo and the Pasuk of Parshas Nitzavim. Now let's go back and look at Ha'ara 11. Ha'ara 11, if you look in the Sicha, was written not on the support being brought from Parshas Bo, but on the logical reason why our Pasuk in and of itself has to be pratim in Begir Chasher Bekar of Machanach. I want to read the words inside again of the parentheses. The im loy kein, because if not so, elo shehim sugim bifnei atzmam legamri, if in fact, chayte beitzacha and shayev mimecha are their own categories, havale lemeimar belishna kibahano de le'el, it should have used the same lashon as before, chayte beitzacha v'shayev mimecha. So the Rebbe makes an assumption here. And this, I believe, is what Ha'ara 11 is coming to deal with. The assumption is that whenever you list categories on their own, you never use prefix of me and at. You always just say the lingo. And on a simple level, this is what the Rebbe presents us in the beginning of Ha'ara 11. He says, Afsha matzinu ke'enze, but we do find in a similar structured pasuk that Torah does use the words mem and ad, even though they are self-standing categories. When Shmuel told Shaul to kill Amalek, he used the terminology, may ish ad isha, from man to woman, may oilil va'ad yoinik, mishar va'ad se, mi gomol va'ad chamar, from man to woman, from child to nursling, from ox to sheep, and from camel to goat, to donkey. So, and I think this is the Rebbe's question, here we see sugim bifnei atzma, legamri, completely separate categories, and yet each one is getting the prefix of mem and ad. So how could we say in the sicha, you know, conclusively that there's no way to say mem and ad by sugim bifnei atzma legamri? And what the Rebbe answers is that obviously hadesham kol sugim bo b'teisves mem, over there all categories are being said with a mem. So there you have no reason to say that there shouldn't be a mem if it was its own category. Here we see already the first seven types were said without a mem and an ad. And so from the fact that the next one is set with a mem and an ad, that's proof enough that if it would have been its own category, it wouldn't have used the terminology mem and ad. However, I do want to add that there's a point that requires further clarification here, because the pasuk that's quoted in this ha'ara, the beginning that Rebbe does not quote, Shmuel tells Shaul, Atalech, I want you to go now, v'hi kisa es Amalek, and I want you to smite down Amalek, v'acharam toisem, and to completely destroy them. That's the heading. Are delineations of details of previous category. They are the specification of what Amalek is. And so the question doesn't seem to start. It's actually exactly like our Pasuk. Our Pasuk has Vigerech Asher Bekarev Machanecha, then gives the delineations with the Mem and the Ad. And the Pasuk in Shmuel is exactly the same thing. Lech v'ikis ha samolik, me'ish v'ad isha me'ilul v'ad yinik m'sher v'ad se me'gamol v'ad chamer. It's actually a proof to our point that any time it's not its own category, you don't say mem and ad. You only say mem and ad when it is its own. Sorry, any time it's it is its own category. You don't say Memanad. Here we see they're not their own category. Therefore, we do say Memanad. So that would require a little of more Ion in Ha'ara 11. The Shuli HaGilyon, the note to the note here, I believe the Rebbe is just making, again, a technical point. Because one of the differences brought up in Ha'ara 13 between Parshas Bo and Parshas Nitzavim was that in Parshas Bo, you get all the Bechayrim. There, you know, and there's multiple categories in between the two extremes. Bechir Pare and Bechir Ashifchar are the two extremes, and we have other categories in between the two extremes. Whereas in our Pasuk, not necessarily is it that way. However, the Rebbe shows from Ha'ara 11, from the Pasuk by Amalek, Mizem Muchach, from here it's clear, the Shayach Lashon Mem Ad Af She'en Sogachar Bineh, that you could use the Lashon of from and to, even when they're not two extremes, and there's nothing in between them. Although, Avol Tzarech Li Yitzad HaShavah Bineh, but there does have to be a common denominator, something which unites them for why you would say from and till. For example, Ish V'Isha are Gedolim, men and women are both adults. Gamal v'chamer are both behemot tmeya. So even though when you say mi gamal v'ad chamer, it's not two extremes of anything, and not necessarily is anything else being included, but they do share the factor of being behemot tmeyas. When you say from man to woman, there's nothing else in between, but it's still applicable to say the words from and until, because they share a common denominator of being adults. Al kolponim, to return to where we're at in the sicha, the Rebbe has explained why Rashi understands that the people being referred to by Mechaita Vitzacha V'Shev Mimecha firstly are not Avadim because they're not part of the Bris Shalkala Teiro Mitzvahs, and additionally they must be Gedim because Sai the Lashon Yachid supports it and Sai the Mem and the Yad supports it. However, and here we continue in the second column of the second page of the Sicha, Elasha Lefizeh Kasha, but now what remains is a difficulty. Lama mifaretes ha-Torah davka gerim elu umayitziyatom miklal gercha asher bekerav machanecha. Why would the Torah take these people out of the category of being gerim? What would be the point of that? Yes, we know they're gerim. Why does Torah see it necessary to delineate michetav itzachat sheiv mimecha? The pshita de'en kasal kadaitach lohitziya min haklal mipnei sheisasku ba'avodas kashis elu. Obviously, it's not a reason just because they dealt with tough work. And this seems to be similar to what the point that I brought up in the Bilti Mug in the beginning of the Sikha, that there was a Malacha She'ena Haguna. The Parnasa here is not relevant. The type of work is not relevant. Just because you do harder work doesn't mean you have to be set on your own. Obviously, says the Rav, this is again a Pshat Vart, Ubehechrech Leimart, we're forced to say, Shabi'inyan Hayesam Gerim Him Besug Nifred Miger Chastam. And they are somewhat of a different type of Ger. They are not your classic regular convert. Umuvan gamkim, additionally to understood, shesug nifrad ze begedim, that this new type of category, whatever it is and whyever it's defined that way, nischadish besibas eza ma'ura she'ira bizman ha-samuch la'amiras ma'ishatim mitzavim v'gemer, was clearly brought into existence at a time very close in history to when Moshe is saying atem mitzavim. Because if this different category of ger existed before, dim leikin havale lefaret b'teira din sug ze shal gerim mechol makim lifnei ze shenizkru gedim b'teira, because if they really were around the whole time, Moshe should have always been addressing them. Whenever he mentioned the law that applies equally to Yidden and Gerim, he should say, oh, and it also applies to the Gerim of Chet Vitzacha V'Shev Mimecha. So clearly, since he didn't, this new category of Gerim, who are new for some type of reason we'll see in a moment, this new type of Gerim was obviously only created just around now in history. And Rashi needs to address this. He knows that. And so he looks around. Looks around Tanakh and sees, where could I find something similar? Lachin mefarish Rashi, therefore Rashi explains. The mikevon shemotzinu chaver b'mikra, legerim misug miyuchad b'yahishua. We find a friend, we find somebody, another similar type of gerus, a special type of gerus in Yahishua. Mistaber shesuga miyuchad shaya b'mei Moshe haya k'maisam. It makes sense to say that the unique type of gerim in Moshe's days were similar. Similar in which way? Hainu, shesibas hagerus shalohem, hoysakein hasiba, shehivia legerus hamiyuchedas bimei Yahishua. That this cause for the people who come in Gerim in times of Moshe would have been similar to the cause that the people in Yahishua were trying to become Gerim, which is, in times of Yahishua, it was Zesha Omdu bnei Yisrael lichbesh Eretz Canaan, that the bnei Yisrael were about to take over Eretz Canaan, conquer it. So too in the days of Moshe, they weren't about to conquer it, but they were about to enter the land of Canaan. Amanas lekavsha, having in mind to conquer it. And therefore, this is a beautiful reason. Bo az ha-Knanim li-Yizgayir, v'li-Yiz b'chlal Yisrael. The Knanim came to be Mizgayir. And I think when the Rebbe stresses the word Knanim, even though he doesn't say it clearly, he also means to answer a question which the Rebbe did ask in the Bilti Muga. Why does Rashi change the word from Givainim to Knanim? Because in Yeshua's times, it might have been just a Givainim. Here, it was just anybody from Canaan. You didn't worry about it, enter the land of Canaan. Any Canaanim would have come. Or as the Rebbe says in the Bilti Muga, Canaanim are a shame kolo for all the Umayyads living in Eretz Canaan. It makes sense. Just before they conquer, people want to come Gerim. Just before they enter, people want to become Gerim. It makes sense. They came to be Mizgayir on the eve of the Yidden coming into Eretz Canaan, and therefore Verak Oz Nishchadish Sugzeh Shal Gerim. This new type of Gerim was renewed, was brought into existence. Therefore, they're only counted here and detailed here as their own category. So, to summarize where we're at, and just to have the entire flow of the Sicha very simply. Everything in Rashi that he says is brought about by process of elimination. Rashi looks at the pasuk and he sees an extra category. He says, "Who could this be? It can't be the avodim because the very next pasuk says it's a bris for all of Torah and mitzvahs. It can't be the yidden because the lashon yachid supports it, the mem and the ad supports it that it's gerim. Okay, it's gerim. Next question we have to address is why are they being delineated here? What's special about this type of gerim and why don't we find anywhere else in the Torah? Oh." Got to look around. We find similar type of new gerim by Yeshua's times. Probably that's what happened here too. Not only probably, in fact, that's what did happen here too, as we'll see in part two of this year. In fact, these people, Knanim, came to be gerim. Why'd they come? Well, it makes sense. It's like Yeshua's times, they were going to conquer, now they're going to enter. All Knanim want to have a part of this. They want to be coming into Eretz Canaan. Leave a final point from the Bilti Muga. The Rebbe doesn't say it as clearly as in the Muga. Here in the Muga, the Rebbe says they came to be Gerim because they're about to enter Eretz Canaan. In the Bilti Muga, the Rebbe says, throughout the whole time in the desert, nobody would have bothered to come out to the Midbar. It was too tough. But now, since the Gidon are at Arvois Mayav, they're right on the border of Eretz Canaan, so the same way you could go Mimizlevech Lemayrav, you can go cross into Eretz Yisrael, and the same way you can come, it's very easy, Mimayrav Lemizlevech, to cross outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so the Canaanim saw the Jews right outside, they're like, now's a great time, we'll hop out and will become Gerim. And Bezos Hashem, in the next part of this year, we'll finish up the rest of the Pshat in the Sicha, as well as the beautiful initial Taita of the Sicha. The one question which remains, even after this beer, is the question that we are up to now on the third page of the Sicha, first column, paragraph beginning, Aval. Aval adayin ene muvan, but what still remains to be understood. Mai nafkemina me eza siba nizgayru. Why does it make a difference why they became Gerim? Seemingly, at the end of the day, they're proper converts, according to Rashi, that they actually became Gerim. Once they became Gerim, they're Gerim. Why are they counted separately? The ein loymar shebal lishlel kosal kadaitoch loymar she'enom nichlalim begercha. And one cannot say that it's actually coming for that very reason, because if Torah wouldn't have said them clearly, we would have thought they're not proper Gerim. Because why would we have thought that? Why should I differentiate between these Gedim and any others? Just because they came in the days of Moshe later on, imagine if Torah had just said, why would I think that doesn't include these group of Gedim? The Knanim they came, of course it does. They're proper Gedim. What the Rebbe is going to answer in the Sicha is going to be Gishmak, and we're going to get there in a minute. First, I want to go to Ha'ara 15. Because Ha'ara 15 was actually said in the Bilti Muga edition of the Sicha, if you learn the Sicha in Tavshin Chav Tes, Sichas Kaidash, and you will see that actually in that Sicha, the Rebbe remained with that answer. That was the Rebbe's final answer in the Sicha. The answer in the Pnim of the Sicha, that's Muga, that's what the Melamed is teaching us, was completely added in the edited version. As I said in last year, the question about Melamed was added in the edited version. It didn't exist in the questions of the Sicha itself. So it would seem like this is a new vert which the Rebbe added while the Sicha was being edited. But in the Bilti Muga, the Rebbe stuck with Ha'ara 15. Ha'ara 15 is going to suggest, and I'm going to say it outside just so we have the background and understanding of it, because it gets long and windy, this Ha'ara. The point that the Rebbe wants to make is that even once these Knanim became Gerim, there would be a certain limitation on them. And that would be the limitation of marriage. Even once they become Gerim, we would not be allowed to marry them. And if that's true, that would be a great reason why Torah has to delineate them. Because had Torah not said them, we would think they're not part of the Gerim, since we can't marry them. And therefore, Torah has to say them, that even though we can't marry them, they're still included in the Gerim. That's going to be the basic assumption in Ha'ara 15. However, at the end of the Ha'ara, the Rebbe will reject it. A point which, again, is brought up only in the edited version of the Sicha, because in the Bilti Muga, the Rebbe does not bring up that rejection and remains with this answer. That the reason that Torah specified them was to let us know that even though we can't marry them, they're still Gerim. Now, in this discussion, another mitzvah arises that applies to Knanim. The mitzvah of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. So, to say it this way, we have two mitzvahs that we know apply to the nations living in Eretz Yisrael. You can't keep them alive, and you also can't marry them. Now, not keeping them alive, that's a pretty big question. How was Moshe mekabel them as Gerim? Aren't you supposed to kill them? The Rebbe points to Rashi earlier on that pasuk, which says that if they did tshuva, you're allowed to keep them alive. Besides the fact that actually we learned in a previous sicha, I think it was 2 weeks ago in Parashas Kisetze, that the whole idea of Leisachaya Kol Neshama only applies according to Pshilosh Mikra, Kisikra Belir, when you come to fight a battle, not when they come to you. So that takes care of Leisachaya Kol Neshama. But the other mitzvah that applies to Knanim, Leis Yischatin Bam, not to marry them, seemingly applies even after they became Gerim. And with that, the Rebbe would answer why the Torah has to say these categories inside. By the way, there's a further support for this. Rashi doesn't make mention by Leis Yischatin Bam that if they did Shuva, there's an exception. He only mentioned that by Leis Yischatin Kol Neshama, further supporting this Chiluk, that by the Knanim that came to become Gerim, they could be kept alive, but they wouldn't be allowed to be married. Let's read it inside, so we have it the way that Rebbe writes it. L'chayra ha'yamakim le'mar. Seemingly there would be room to say, she'knanim afshen yizgaidu, kanal, that the Knanim, even though they did become Gerim, and that is Shitas Rashi, they did become Gerim, chol aleim iser v'leis yischatin bam. The iser of not marrying them still applies. Af she'iser v'leis achaya kol neshama, lo yichal aleim. Even though the iser of v'leis achaya kol neshama does not apply to them, kipir Rashi, as Rashi clearly says, im asu tshuva v'hizgayru at Rashi lekabam, that if they did tshuva and they became Gerim, you're allowed to receive them and keep them alive. So the iser of v'leis achaya kol neshama does not apply. And if we say that, Shal Pizem Uvan, it's very understood, Hashahaya Meshur Dasha Lekablam. The fact that Meshur was able to receive them, he was able to receive them because L'Israel V'Sechai Kol Neshama does not apply when they come to do tshuva. Neisaf Alzeh, in addition to the fact that, as we explained in a previous sicha, Al Pipshute Shal Mikra, Chol Chiyu Devo L'Sechai Kol Neshama Rak Shekarav Al'ir Li Lachem Aleh. That Al Pipshat, the Chiyuv of L'Sechai Kol Neshama only applies when you come to the city to have war with it, Re'i Baruch Ale'e Alamud 82, Masha Enkin Benidid Nidan, Masha Enkin in our case where it doesn't even begin to apply. So V'Lesechai Kol Neshama doesn't apply to the Knanim. But even after they become Gerim, you still can't get married. U'kidemuchach l'cho'ayra. Mizesha b'negeah v'leis yischatin bam. Lo'y pirish Rashi de'im asu tshuva. K'mesha pirish b'negeah l'V'Lesechai Kol Neshama shel Acharav. And it's pretty good proof that Rashi does not say the exception of doing tshuva b'leis yischatin bam, even though he does say the exception by V'Lesechai Kol Neshama. Ve'ein leimer, and of course one cannot say shesay mechasatz me'al mashakosav acharka, that Rashi in Parshas Veleschanan by the Isra Veleschatan Bam would be relying on the tshuva exception for what he's going to write later by Veleschachai Kol Neshama. No, of course it would seem on the surface that Veleschachai Kol Neshama does not apply anymore, but Veleschatan Bam does apply. Ve'al pizeh haya efshel letaritz, and that would allow us to answer shalochein nifritu b'fnei atzmon, that that's where they had to be delineated specifically lishlol kasal kadaitach, to negate an assumption shaloi nichlelu b'vigercha mipnei shechal aleihem ha'isur d'v'leschatam, that they would not be part of Gerim because we can't marry them. Therefore, Torah says them specifically that even though we can't marry them, they're still part of the Gerim. And in the Sichah Bilti Muga, the Rebbe went even further, and the Rebbe said, you know what? You might ask me, doesn't the Torah give us the reason in the Psukim? Bavales Yishatenbam, it says, Ki Yosir has bin Chamei Acharai, because the Goy will take away the newborn grandchild from the Eibishter. And by the Pasuk of Lesechai Kol Neshama, it also gives a reason, L'man Asher LeYilmedu, so that we shouldn't learn from them how to act. And so the reasons seem to be the same. Why would one apply and one not? And the Rebbe gave a Klalim Shadashal Mikra, and there's a difference between Ki and L'man. L'man means that that is the entire Geder of the Mitzvah. Lesechai Kol Neshama, L'man Asher LeYilmedu. The second, they're not going to be teachers because they're becoming Gedim. The whole issue doesn't apply. But when it comes to ki is not vadai, and ki is not the whole gather. Ki is one of many reasons. V'leis yischatin bam, because there'll be he'll take your children astray, but not that's the whole gather of the mitzvah. And therefore, even if they become gedim, they still are ushered to be married. And the Rebbe went even further and said, and in fact, even once they get married, they still might take the children away. And the Rebbe went into a whole beard of mil yehudia. You see that the hashpah of marriage could be much bigger hashpah than being neighbors. That even once a guy becomes a ger and marries, there's still a chance of Yosir has been chamei achara. Al kapanim, the Rebbe remained with that and said, leisachatin bam applies, leisachaya kol neshama does not apply. And that's the havamina to, that's the reason why we have to include them, because otherwise it'd be a havamina that they're not part of gerim. But here in our order, the Rebbe rejects that and says, aval enai. But it's not true. In fact, once the Kananim would have become gerim, you would have been allowed to marry them. Even though by Elisha's Chatin Bam, Rashi does not say the exception of Tshuva, Ki Bivalesis Chatin Bam, Lehutzrach Rashi Lefarshe. Rashi doesn't need to say the exception of Tshuva, it's actually implicit in the words. And here the Rebbe goes, Prunt Farker, from the word that he says in the Bilti Muga. The difference between Ki and Leman, or the structure of the Pasuk, is very different. Bivalesachaya Gamer, what does it say by Lesachaya? What's the reason? It says a negative reason. Kasuv leman asher loy yilmedu v'gamer, so that they should not teach. Hainu, which means shetzarich liyos vaday shaloy yilmedu, that it has to be for sure that they will not be teachers and that you will not learn from them. Ba'afilu kisha asu tshuva, and even if they did tshuva, midei safek layatza, one would assume on his own that they're still in doubt of being our teachers in negative ways. Therefore, Rashi has to say, Imasu tshuva, you can still keep them alive, even though you might think not. You might think that they still could be your teachers. But, Masha'enkin b'valeis yischatin bam, what does it say the reason there? K'siv ki yosir has been chamei achara, because it's a positive expression, lashon chiyuv. He will take your children away. Which means that the Isra only applies, Hainash tzarech li is vadai she yosir has been chamei achara, only if you're sure that he will remove your kids. Uba'asu tshuva, hadei efshar shiyeh ger tzedek, when they do tshuva, there's no more certainty. Yes, it's a possibility, but once you're out of the certainty, you're out of the Pasuk's loop. The Pasuk only gives the Isser for Ki Yasser, where you're sure there's going to be a Yasser. If you're not sure there's going to be a Yasser, no Isser. And therefore, there remains that Silas Yischatin Bam, Silas Echanekol Neshama, did not apply to the Kananim once they became Gerim. If it did not apply to them once it became Gerim, we're back to square one. We're back to the question in the Sicha. There is no need to say Mechaita Vitzacha Hashem Mimecha, because there's no different factors in these Gerim. Once they became Gerim, they're full on Gerim. And therefore, the Rebbe says that Mitam Zeh, back to the Sicha, second column at the top of the third page, Mitam Zeh Medayik Rashi B'tchilas Diburei, this is what Rashi wants to tell us with the words Milameid Shabo Kananim Li Yizgarad B'mei Moshe. And this pasuk teaches us that the Kananim came U'mamshich Levari K'derech Shabo Givonim B'mei Yehoshua, as the Givonim came. In other words, and this is a very interesting pshat in Milameid, Kileimar Shezeh Shehatayra Mefaretas Eisam B'suk Shoyna, the fact that Tayra puts them in a different category, Kavanasa Lilamdeinu, is simply to teach us that piece of history. L'saper lanu, to tell us, asher bo k'nanim li yizgar b'mei Moshe chulu. V'kama v'kama inyanim le'amna teira b'mufurash kiim b'remes. There are many things that Torah doesn't say clearly, only at hints. U'kecholam lor d'ayah samas upadim at Torah, like any story in the Torah. It's a piece of history. Torah wanted to be milamed. Torah wanted to teach us that there was an incident of gerim in the days of Moshe, just as there was in the days of Yeshua. How does it teach it to us? By saying a new category of Gedim. The Torah knew that if it would say a new category of Gedim, the Ben Chamer Shlomiko would be puzzled and would want to know, why is it saying a new category of Gedim? Oh, you know why? Because Bo, Knanim Li is Gair. I want you to know, Kind, there was another category of Gedim that came to join the Jewish people. However, Rashi knows that it's very hard to say that a couple of words are hinting to an entire story. But since in these couple of words it's pretty not so simple that it's hinting to an entire story, he gives a proof. Look, my child, look what it says in Sefer Yeshua by the Givainim. It says, Vayasu gam hema. They also did. What's they also? If you look in Yeshua, you'll see there had to have already been an incident of Gedim. So here I am, says Rashi. I'm putting it in where it belongs. This is where the other incident happened. Shabo, Knanim li Yisgayr. And look, says Rashi, it says there too, Yeshua made them into wood carriers and wood choppers and water carriers. So here also, that's what happened. When you use two psukim together, it clarifies the type of gerus that this was, the special type. And you also get the reason for why Torah has to say it to actually teach you that story. Amnon, however, yesh oid lahakshes, but there's still one more detail that needs to be cleared up. Kisha yira ha-talmud ha-mesubar b'givarnim shemetzayin Rashi. Rashi just now turned the Talmud to look at Yehoshua. So the Ben Chumash Lamerker says, okay, I know I'm still learning Chumash, I know I'm getting to Nevi'im soon, but you already opened the book of Yehoshua for me. Let me read the story, and let me actually see what happens in that context. And when the Talmud reads that context, he'll be puzzled. Because now, he's going to find the proof to the opposite, that there was no such story in the days of Moshe, because he's going to ask, if it's true that in the days of Moshe, Knanim came to be Mizgayer, how come in Yeshua's times, as the Pesukim tell there, after the whole Givinim story happened, and the Yeshua accepted them, how come everybody complained? They did beautifully. They did just as Moshe did. Yeshua should have quelled the rebellion that way. He should have said, Kein asa Moshe. So the Talmud says, you, Rashi, are telling me that from the story in Yeshua, I'm supposed to learn that it already happened once in history. I actually see that there was no precedent. Because if there was a precedent, Yeshua should have used that. Why didn't he quell the rebellion that way? And to answer this question of the Talmud, Rashi copies down the word ba'arma, answering the Rebbe's third question. He says that's the operative words in the days of Yehoshua that got everybody started. In the days of Moshe, they came, open intentions, they came to become Gerim, Stam, the Kavana Gluya. There's no learning from one to the other. There's no inference. In the days of Moshe, he accepted them because they came open. In Yeshua's days, they came ba'arma. They came hidden in trickery. So when Yeshua accepted them, of course that brought to a bayilainu. They complained, and Yeshua couldn't answer by saying, oh, Moshe did that. They would say, no, sir. Moshe did that when the people came honestly. They came clean. Here, the Givinim came with tricks. So the word Ba'ar Marashi is hinting to a question that Talmud would ask when being referred to Yehoshua. Ha'ara 19, a very interesting Ha'ara. What comes out from this Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim, besides for explaining Parshas Nitzavim's Rashi, is a pshat in Yehoshua. Now when the Pasuk says, Vayasu gam hema be'arma, one has to learn that the words gam hema and be'arma are two separate things. The gam hema, the fact that they also came, also is in reference to the Yemei Moshe. Just like in Yemei Moshe they came, they also came now. But the be'arma is a standalone act of these givinim. Only the Givinim were Ba'arma. The Gam Hema, the first incident of Moshe's Gedim, was not Ba'arma. But if you look in Yeshua itself, as the Rebbe points to in R 19, Ulahoyer should be Yeshua Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains in Sefer Yeshua, on the words Gamhema Ba'arma? Kemoi She'asu B'nei Yaakov Ba'arma. He puts the Ba'arma also in the Gam. That they weren't the first people coming trickery. Yeah, he doesn't attach it to Moshe's days, but he attaches it to another event in history. In other words, he puts the words Gamhema Ba'arma together, that the Ba'arma was also a Gamhema. Just like B'nei Yaakov came to Shechem Ba'arma, they came to Yahushua Ba'arma. How do we resolve these two contradictory Rashis? Here, Gamhema is separate from Ba'arma. Gamhema goes on the Vayasu. They also did, like Moshe's times. But they were different because they were trickery. And in Yahushua, Rashi says it's Gamhema Ba'arma. They were also tricksters, just like Yaakov's children were tricksters, or came with Arma. But Ulayef Shalemar, says the Rebbe, it's possible to say, the cave on the Gamhema Kasov Ba'emtza, and I think the quotes before the word Dalet should be after the Dalet and before the Gimel, because it's the words Gamhema that are the quote. Since the word Gamhema is written in the middle, it doesn't say Vayasu Ba'arma Gamhema, or Gamhema Asu Ba'arma. It says Vayasu Gamhema Ba'arma. So Rashi learns that it has both implications. Mifarish Rashi. Rashi explains in each place what's negeya to that place. Kan, hanegeya lekan. Here he explains what's relevant here. The koi alefonov, that it refers to the previous word, the beguf ha'asiya, hoya gamhema, that in the actual doing that was the gam, they also came to be misgayer, just like the days of Moshe, they came to be misgayer. But in Sefer Yehoshua, Rashi adds another point that's probably relevant there for other reasons. It's obviously not relevant here to know that. Relevant there, the koi gam ala achrov, that it also refers to la achrov, to the words gamhema could also be read with the word ba'arma. They were also people, they were gams, in the way they did it. In the way of Ba'arma. Who else did it Ba'arma? He's forced to say that it's like B'nai Yaakov. And the Rebbe ends the Harada with a very interesting Tzarich Iyun. But Tzarich Iyun, Pirash Rashi, Truma, Chaf Hei Lamed Dalet. One would therefore have to look into Rashi in Parshas Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. There it's describing the Menorah. And the Pasuk says, Uva Menorah Arba Gvim. On the Menorah there were four goblets. On the actual middle branch, there was four goblets. Three on the top, one in the middle, as Rashi explains there. Mishu Kadim. Designed with almonds, kaftirah ufrachel, its knobs and its flowers. The word mishukadim could be either referring to avamaneira arba gvim mishukadim, the gvim were designed with almonds, plus kaftirah ufrachel, or avamaneira arba gvim, comma, mishukadim kaftirah ufrachel, the kaftirim and the prachim, those are the ones that were mishukadim. And Rashi says, Zeh echad mechamishim mikroya she'elah mechreya, this is one of the five psukim that do not have a clear way to read the pasuk, whether Mishukadim is going on the beginning or Mishukadim is going on the end, and the other four psukim in Tanakh. But according to this ha'arda, what comes out is that also in this pasuk is one of the mikrois shein lahem echreya. This is also a pasuk that could be read both ways: Vayasu gamhema ba'arma, or Vayasu gamhema ba'arma. In fact, Rashi is saying in both places two different types. I think that's the Rebbe's tzarichion here, that Rashi should have made mention maybe of a sixth pasuk. And in closing, I would add, there's a beautiful sicha in Chilik Chavav. It's not a Rashi sicha, it's a Rambam sicha. Because the Rambam actually paskins that they were all Mishukadim. Hakol Mishukadim k'mishkedim ba'asiyasim. The entire Gvim, Kafteidim, and Prachim were all Mishukadim. And the Mefarshim point to the fact that it's Mechamisha Mikroi She'en Lehem Mechreya, therefore the Rambam reads it both ways. And the Rebbe explains how even in Moshe Rabbeinu's times it did it that way, because Moshe was Mesupik in the Pshat in the Pasuk, and Gevaldik Sicha in Rambam. But one of the points brought up in those Ha'aris is that if a pasuk could be read both ways, that does not go into the category of Chamisha Mikroi She'en Lehem Mechreya. Chamisha Mikroi She'en Lehem Mechreya is only if it's got to be either one way or the other. And the two ways are a stira to each other, as the Rebbe explains in the answer to Tosfos Kasha there, why it's got to be either of a Menorah Arba Gvim Mishukadim or Mishukadim Kafteira Afracha. They're two opposite ways of learning the Pasuk. See there, Baruchah. Whereas here, the two Pshatim in Be'asar Gamhema Ba'arma are not contradictory. They're two different points. They were B'dayme Gufasiyah and they were B'dayme Ba'ifanasiyah. So perhaps the answer to the Rebbe's Tzarich Iyun would be from the Rebbe's own Sicha later, where he gives us this klal. V'tein l'chachem b'yech kamoit. Let's conclude the sicha with the Gishmak Yena Shel Teira. Yena Shel Teira Shem Pirash Rashi Dilan. From Yena Shel Teira and our Rashi. Yadua Piskam Admor Azaken Ala Pasuk Mechaita Vitzacha Ad Sheyed Mimecha. It's well known. Piskam of the Alter Rebbe on the pasuk Mechete Vitzecha Chayim Mimecha, that what Eitzecha is Miloshin Eitza. Eitzecha does not come from the word wood necessarily, it means counsel or advice. One has to chop out this counsel. One has to chop out the rabbis machshavis belev ish, the multiple thoughts that a human mind produces. Shayev meimecha, similar concept. We got to draw out certain negative waters. Hakavana shetzrichim lishev esamayim amatzmichim kol minei tainug. We have to, you know, that water is a paradigm for tainug. Water makes all pleasure grow. So you have to draw out that water. So it's a lesson in avodas Hashem. Ach, however, efsheru mishu yitain. Somebody might say, ha tinach yisachar yesh v'el v'kalechot v'acham limon chalei b'teira legabi yisachar, which means either people that are themselves yisachar because they're yesh v'el all day, or even if I'm not a yisachar, but it's every person in his own limud ha'teira time, b'kiyam v'mitzvus u'b'avodas ha'tfila. So true, at that time, az bevad yesh isur shel taharu v'sar rabbis machshavis shaloi v'tanug yilam hazeh shaloi. Yeah, then I can't mix in my rabbis machshavis, I can't mix in my tanug yilam hazeh. Aval zvulun? But the zvulun part of me? Bali esek? Businessman b'shashu esek binyani mischer? Kilol b'achilasa yishtiyasu v'chulu, when I'm in business, or even when I'm in my other things that I'm doing as a human being, eating and drinking? Now that I'm involved in physicality, they actually need to rely on, need to be helped by my physical thoughts. And my tainug is relevant. That's what brings the success in everything I do. This would then be the lesson in Rashi, Melamed Shabo Knanim Lihisgayer, by using the word Knanim again, changing from the Lashon HaTanchuma, which says Givainim. Rashi uses the word Knanim, Unasana Moshe Chet Veitzim B'Shei Abimayim, that Moshe made these Knanim into wood choppers and water carriers. Shagam Knani, that even a Knani in the sense of Lufia Pirush Seicher. Knani could mean a merchant, as the Pasuk says. And Rashi, in fact, brings it down, as it says in Ha'ara 24, Pirush Rashi in Bayeshev. And the pasuk says, "Knan no nichbadei eretz, Knan biyadei meiz nimirma, v'lo yiyad Knani bebeis Hashem tzvois." These are all places where the pasuk of Knan means merchant. Even when you're a Knani, even when you're a merchant and involved in physical things, tzarich liyas avedase be'efin shel chet v'eitz and b'shei avimayim kanal, you too have to be a wood chopper, chop out the eitzes, a water carrier, draw out the water hamatzmichim kol minei tainuk. Okay, so now you concede. I have to do it. Okay, but it's difficult. Even in physical things, I have to give up everything and rely completely with faith in the Eibishter. Not to mix in your thoughts and your tainug. And this Rashi answers, it doesn't say they had to become wood choppers and water carriers. Who made them wood choppers and water carriers was Moshe. The power for this comes from the Moshe in you. And Lagabi Moshe in every single year's neshama, it's easy, it's small, and it will allow you to properly do the Aveda of Chayte Vitzecha V'Shayet Mimecha. I wanted to say this before because leaving off with the Tzarechion is not always the best thing. But maybe actually, one point that I wanted to raise in the actual Rashi is, we're so familiar with the Rebbe's attention to the Dibur HaMaschil of Rashi. And when we examine it here, we see that Rashi's entire Pirush is said only on the words, Mechaytev Eitzecha. He doesn't say it on the words, Mechaytev Eitzecha Ad Shayev Memecha. He doesn't even add a Vegaimer. And this would leave us with some reason to ponder why Rashi puts it all on the words Mechaytei Veitzecha and not on the words Anshayim Mimecha. And I'll leave off with this, Tein Lechachem B'Yech Kamoid.